If you guys didn't give us a little hello, give us a wave or some hearts and stuff. I don't know how this works.
I know, right? So that we'd know. Hello, yeah, ladies. Good evening. I'm so sorry we had to move to Ebony's page. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to add her on our page. If this is your first time joining us, this is the Lumo Call Talk series. We come on every Wednesday at 8 p.m. West African time. And we take your questions, and we also try to share the bit that we know, you know, with experience with working with natural hair and being on a healthy hair journey. So today our topic is causes of hair loss, and our special guest is Ebony. Yay! She's joining us as one of the newest batches of trichologists, right? And we're claiming her in Nigeria, even though she's in the UK. So we're claiming her.
I'm coming, it's my home.
Exactly. So she's going to share with us what it's like from a science point of view, not just hearsay. What are the causes of hair loss? And what are the things you can look out for when it comes to hair loss? So I think we have about 5 people online now. So we can probably start and then we can do a recap. Yeah, we can do a recap much later, but I know more people would keep coming up. So, Ebony, over to you. Okay. You can do a brief introduction and then take us along the class.
So, thank you. My name is Ebony. I'm a recently qualified trichologist, and trichology is the study of the hair and scalp. So, if you're experiencing issues with hair loss, scalp conditions, mm-hmm. anything like that related to that those kind of problems, I would be the person that you come to see. So this evening, I just wanted to talk to you guys briefly about some different types of hair loss, because most people in their life will experience, you know, excess shedding, breakage, but not understand the reasons why. So I wanted to give you guys a bit more of an understanding to what could be causing it, okay? Yeah. So to get started, we want to talk about the hair cycle, like how does the hair grow? And it goes through 3 distinct phases called anagen, catagen, and telogen. So anagen is about the growing phase of their hair. Now, on average, this lasts about, on average, 4 years. So most people's hair will grow for about 4 years before it goes into the resting phase, which is catagen, mm-hmm. that lasts about 1 week, and then telogen, where it starts to fall out, which is the hairs that you lose on a daily basis, you know, when you're brushing, you're combing, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes the internal, your internal environment can cause more of the hairs to go into the telogen stage prematurely, which means that you're seeing excess hair loss. Yeah, everyone follow me so far?
Okay.
So what that means is that sometimes things like sickness, taking medication, postpartum for having a baby can change mm-hmm. the balances of your hormones, which will make more hair fall out. Now, hair loss is usually the first symptom of something else going wrong. So if you start to see hair loss, you know that, okay, you know, I need to check what's going on in my body. Like, you know, is everything okay? What do I need to do to kind of rectify it? Okay. Now, with diffuse hair loss or telogen effluvium, which is when you have excess shedding, you know, more in your brush, more when you're washing your hair, that kind of hair loss will never make you go bald. But if you're seeing more falling out, don't feel like, oh my days, you know, my hair is going out, I'm going to be bald. It will just make your hair thin. And there's things that you can do to rectify it. So don't start screaming or buying potions from people that are not really magic. You have to just take it easy a little bit, okay? There's 2 types of diffuse hair loss. There's ones that are temporary and self-correcting, and ones that are permanent until you have an intervention. So the temporary and self-correcting ones are, like I said, pregnancy, stress can be one, changing a medication, even like dieting. So if you decide, okay, we're doing Fit Fam over the summer, I'm going to like, you know, start being a vegetarian, drinking smoothies, that kind of change can cause an internal imbalance that can result in hair loss. But usually after about 3 months, it will go back to normal. So there's nothing you need to do. However, if you see it for longer than 3 months, you know that, okay, I need to go to maybe my doctor, maybe my trichologist, and find out what's happened. I need to do something to kind of make it go away. Mm-hmm. How's that so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Okay.
So the types that need intervention are usually kind of like hormone imbalances, medications that you take for a long time. So if you have like a chronic illness where you're taking maybe steroids, antidepressants, those kind of things, if you have an iron deficiency or a nutrition imbalance, those kind of things need you to do something before your hair loss will stop. So sometimes you might have to see your doctor and say, oh, maybe could I change this medication to something else, you know, to kind of improve the condition if it's worrying you a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's excess shedding. And on average, most people will lose about 80 to 100 hairs a day. Now, if for like Africans, we do braid styles, we don't brush our hair every day, you won't see that hair loss, you know, just as you go around. But you might see it when you take down your style. So after you've had your hair in for, you know, 3 to 6 weeks, when you take it out, you'll see, ah, there's a lot of hair here. Don't be worried if it's more than normal. It's all that shed hair from every day that's kind of actually built up. And that's what you're experiencing. Yeah. It's only when you lose about 50% of your volume, that's when most people start to notice that, oh, you know, I can't get in a hairband anymore, or I'm starting to see my scalp a bit more. And that's when you can go and see somebody to get some help. But like, even for like iron deficiency, I had a post on my page the other day. Now, the normal ranges are between 15 and I think 300 milligrams. If you go to the doctor and have a blood test, they'll say that that's the normal range. But to have good hair growth, you need to have it at 70. So sometimes when you have a blood test, reference ranges that you see will say that they're all normal, but I actually get the values in check because sometimes they're not high enough to have good hair growth. So it may be like, oh yeah, you know, everything's fine, but there could be a little bit more that you need to do. Okay.
Yeah.
Another type of hair is alopecia, and that is where you see circular patches where you can actually see your scalp. So usually people get them like quite small, especially on like the crown of their head. Now, the reason you'll know they're different from diffuse hair loss or shedding is because you'll actually see the scalp. As I said, with shedding, you won't go bald. But with alopecia, it's an instant trigger as well. So if something happens to you, usually it's like a result of like a traumatic experience. So a lot of people will have like an accident or something, and then a few days later, they'll notice like patches of hair have fallen out completely, and there's like a smooth part of scalp.
Yeah, yeah.
So alopecia areata, now it's tricky because there's no known like cure for it. So sometimes the hair will grow back like spontaneously, and it will come out white first, but it will grow back normally. But sometimes people have it and it's permanent. We just never know. We try and treat it, but you never know if it's the medications that worked or the treatments, or if it's just naturally your body was like, I'm ready to grow hair again. And alopecia areata is caused by your immune system attacking the hair bulb. So it's it can be genetic as well, but it's different from diffuse hair loss, where that's just like a general, your body's reacting and letting go of the hair. There's actually white blood cells in the scalp attacking the hair follicle, saying, you know, we don't want you to be here anymore. There's a lot of inflammation. You can see it quite differently.
Okay. Yeah.
And the third type I wanted to talk about was female pattern hair loss. Now, this usually occurs with older ladies who are going through the menopause. Now, when you go through the menopause, your sex hormones change. And most people have a increased sensitivity to testosterone, which is like, you know, the male sex hormone. And it causes thinning through the front of the hair and through their parting. So if they have like a middle part, so say like here, they'll start to see like it's getting wider. Their parting will actually become wider, and they'll start to see more scalp. And that kind of hair loss, it can't be stopped, but it can be slowed down. So if you do notice that, there's things that you can do to kind of like make sure the hair loss doesn't promote too quickly. And we measure that on the Ludwig scale. So it goes from 1 to 3. One is like normal, there's no extra hair loss. And 3 is like their part is, you know, separate sides of their head. You can see all the way through, a lot of hair has been lost through the top part. So yeah, those are the three I wanted to go through because they're the main ones and they're the ones that are the most treatable. The other types of hair loss can be like scarring, where the hair follicle is destroyed, and those need to be like diagnosed and seen by a person. But these ones, there's like tips and tricks to kind of, you know, overcome them and battle them and make it easier.
Okay, so before the questions come in, you know, having to see a lot of clients, I've noticed that most of them actually do like get most of this like miracle workers, quote unquote, or start to mix certain things that are expecting would just change. And for me, you know, one thing I know that a lot of trichologists talk about is the fact that you have to look at the scalp itself. If there's any sign of regrowth, you'd actually be able to see with a microscope. If not, then you probably need to send them to a trichologist. So apart from the scalp, is there any other thing that you think someone needs to look out for when it comes to like just generally looking? Just have like two like follow-up questions before we start getting our questions in, because these are things I experience like almost every day talking to clients. So I just want to like clear it up, and if anyone of them is actually online, they will actually be able to hear. So another thing I experience a lot is people say, oh, it's in my family, you know, I'm never gonna grow hair there. So I keep telling them that there's some things that fine nature has a hand in when it comes to your hair, but I don't think hair loss actually is. So I would want you to clarify that. Does hair loss fall under things that genetics actually affects? And then my second question would be about blood circulation. You know, people always say, like when you see some oils or some essential oils, they say, oh, it enhances blood circulation, and there's going to be that actually, you know, helps with hair growth. And I think I read somewhere about a research done in Harvard or something that actually tries to say that that is actually true. But then I've seen a lot of trichologists come out to say, no, that is not true. Yeah. Blood circulation has nothing to do with hair growth. So if you can just clarify on those two.
Okay. So the first one, African hair grows. All hair grows at a rate of about half an inch a month. Whether you are white, black, Asian, your hair will grow. If you shaved your head today, in January, by December, you should have about 6 inches of hair. It varies slightly from person to person, but you're not going to get much racial difference. What it is with black people is that we have bad hair practices. So we've been relaxing for too long. We've been braiding. We've been doing tight styles. We don't wash as often as we should. We use horrible products. A lot of products on the market are not good for our health. They contain mineral oils, petroleum, all these kind of things that block the follicles and cause extra breakage. If you went on like a good detox diet, you know, use healthy, natural products, you'll see your hair start to flourish. So this, you know, hair loss is, oh, my hair can't grow, nonsense. Now, there are types of hair loss that are genetic and have genetic triggers. So alopecia areata has a genetic predisposition. So if someone in your family had it, there's a chance that you might get it. Or with male pattern baldness, if a family member has, you know, male pattern baldness, it's likely that the son will have it. You see what I mean? But those things, it's a trigger. It's not necessarily that your mum was bald, you are going to be bald. It's not set like that. It's environment as well. So anybody can grow long hair. Anybody. And then the second thing you said about circulation. So I think the way people put it is confusing. Now, if think about where your scalp is. It's on top of your brain, right? If there was no circulation, your skin would die. So you know, like if your fingers get cold or you start to have those kind of frostbite, within a few hours, your fingers drop off, your nose drops off. You know, it's over for you. So if there was poor circulation to your scalp, you wouldn't be alive to be telling me that you're bald because you'd be dead.
True. So that's true.
People say, oh, you know, I'm improving the circulation. The fact that you've got hair growing and the skin isn't dead, that means the circulation enough. All the hair follicles there, there's such a rich blood supply for your scalp. You don't need to massage it to get circulation. That's not what you're trying to do. Now, with the oils, what you can massage to do is the penetration and absorption. So to help it deeper or to penetrate the hair shaft. But even then, I'm very wary of telling people to massage their hair because the methods that they use are very vigorous. So they'll end up getting friction damage. So they end up breaking their hair because of, you know, massaging. No, it's not that deep. You don't need to do that. If you put oil on your scalp, fine. It's going to penetrate. The same way if you put on your skin. You don't need to massage your skin that much to get, you know, creams to penetrate. And it's the same. I think we're laughing because it seems like simple logic, but people make these mistakes all the time. And because there's so many bloggers and people on the internet saying things. No. Don't. If you want to massage your hair, fine. It's good for relaxation. But if you have a bald patch, you massage it 10 minutes a day. It's not going to make it grow.
Okay, but do you think it helps with, because another argument is that it helps with enriching the sebum and, you know, probably helps with hair growth. So what is the connection? Is there any connection at all? Can you enrich the sebum topically?
Yeah, so each hair follicle has like a sebaceous gland with it that will secrete sebum. So but with afro hair, because our hair is curly, it's hard for the sebum to get down the whole hair shaft. That's why we supplement with oils, we use creams on our hair, that kind of thing. In terms of hair growth, it's not as easy as like one linked to two. There's so many other factors involved. It's very, you know, there's so many other strings attached. So I would err on the side of caution of promoting head massages, because in my experience, people do more damage than good, because they will see, they'll hear, oh, head massage is good, and start going in and expecting. I'd rather tell them not to do it. If I'm doing a treatment, I might give a head massage when I'm washing your hair, but most of the time it's not necessary. It's good for relaxation, but in terms of hair growth, no, you don't need to do that.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Okay, so I'll leave the floor open now for people that have questions.
If you've been following us,
you have any questions. I saw someone saying she's learning a lot. We're so happy that
we could have you. Hi Oliver, hi Willow, who else is here? Hi, Hair of Life. Hi, Kayla, who else is there? Shawads, Shade, Brown Nubian. Hello, guys. There's loads of you here, so, you know, make sure you ask your questions.
Because my time is so expensive. You can tell us questions about the cost of colors. Yeah. So please share or ask questions if you have a particular situation that you'd want Ebony to answer or give advice on. Please feel free.
Beard growth tips. Are you going to try to get your beard to connect?
Interesting.
Anything that you could do for your hair. So using good products, making sure it's moisturized. If you have any split ends, cut them out, or like knots or anything, cut them out. Really, it's all about like moisture, taking care of it, having a good regime. So washing your face often, especially if you sweat a lot, that can block your follicles and cause buildup.
So there's a question about losing hair when she braids a lot. So what does she do to reduce it every time she wears her braids? That's clear, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I suffered with hair loss from too much braids when I was younger. What can I do to improve it? So that sounds like traction alopecia, and it really depends on if your follicles have been damaged or not. So once the follicles are, like, you're born with all the follicles that you have, you can't regenerate them. But if that follicle is dead, so maybe say like it's been a year and you haven't seen any hair there, I would err on the side that, you know, the hair's not going to grow back, which is a sad case. It happens to a lot of us. But if you are seeing new growth, short hairs, just give it time. I would say don't do braids as much. Try to avoid that area to make sure that, you know, you're not putting too much tension on.
The best way to deal with traction alopecia, apart from hairstyles?
Yeah, you just have to leave your hair alone for a little while. Sometimes it can take a while. And I know this is the worst thing. So when I see people suffering with hair loss, their main thing is to cover it so that people don't notice. True. They end up doing more styles that cause damage. And I'm like, oh, this is so annoying, because the braids made you go bald, and now you're putting more braids on top of it. And it's just going to add, it's like a vicious cycle. You have to just leave your hair alone for a bit. So if it means, you know, doing different partings is a good way. Crochet braids is a really good way to still have like a braided style, but it's so much less tension. It's so much less weight on your hair. So I really advise crochet as like an alternative for braids. Wigs are a good way. And just leaving your hair out for a little bit. Take this time while you're having a break to get to know your hair. Find out what it likes. Think about the bad practices that you were doing and seeing that, okay, maybe it might not be the exact style that I want for now, but, you know, I'm actually investing in my hair. It's going to grow much longer in the long run. I hope that answered your question. Achimugu Glory. I'm sorry if I said your name wrong. Okay, homemade ingredients for hair growth when you run out of cash. How much cash do you have? It doesn't have to be that expensive. And as I said, there's no magic pill, there's no magic potion for hair growth. It's really like a good shampoo, a good conditioner, a really good moisturizer, having a simple, healthy regime. You know, avoiding heat, protective styling, protect your ends. These are the oldest parts of your hair. You have to look after them. They are very delicate. Our hair is so delicate. We treat it like it's, you know, like it's steel, but it's silk. We need to look after it.
Yeah, I think that's another like general misconception. Like when I started to research and I found out that black hair is actually more fragile than another type of hair, I was genuinely shocked. Because, you know, we call our hair stubborn, we say our hair is too hard. Yeah. So I think we actually think that it's actually not as fragile as it actually is.
It's the most fragile
type. But when you go deeper and you read most of these things and science tells you that actually black hair is very, very fragile, you're like, oh, wow. We really need
every
to change how we treat our
hair. That's a weak point. So every time there's a curl, that is a weak point. So those areas are prone to damage more. So you have to be really, really careful with it. I just saw a question. Okay, so sorry. So with, ingredients when you run out of cash. Shea butter is really good. Coconut oil. Cleansing, I like using clays. So Russell clay, bentonite clay are really good. Don't be fooled into thinking because it's expensive that it's better for you. You can buy cheap, good products. I'm sure Farida's, you know, going to sell her market now. She sells a lot of good natural products. So if you're in Nigeria, if you're in Abuja, do you ship to all of Nigeria?
Yeah, all over Nigeria. And we're actually looking at worldwide shipping soon. So we'll be able
to send to products, Farida's your lady there.
Yeah. And you know, the thing with clays is because I haven't actually used a shampoo in years. I actually use clays. So I actually had to formulate like a clay mask that you can just get off the shelf and just put it on your hair directly. It was quite difficult to get the formula down, but you know, finally we were able to do that. So that is the one product that I'm so proud of. And I feel like a lot of people don't even know about us in the salon and, you know, with our products. They all think that it's a leave-in and this and that. But the clay mask is like my biggest product that is very deeply moisturizing, is deeply cleansing. Like it has goat milk and all these things in it. And I keep telling people, just get this one product and you would not need anything else. Because, you know, the way clays work, actually, they have deep moisturizing oils and butters in them. They actually feel like a deep cleanser, like a deep conditioning treatment.
Yeah.
So literally what I do is I just put the clay and that's it. Most of the times when I'm too lazy to do a deep conditioning treatment, I just use just that one product. So yeah, this is me selling my market. You need to
get the mud work. And they're really good for curl definition as well. So if you want to see, like, you know, amazing. You don't like to use gels, I love when I use a clay because my hair will be really curly afterwards. It's like a cheap way and a really good way to define your curls as
True. I agree.
I've got really thick 4C hair. It constantly creates knots on itself. Any ideas what to do? That is my struggle. I have the most single strand knots you will ever see. And I recently just had to cut off maybe like 4 or 5 inches of my hair because I just let it get to the point with ridiculous. When you see one, get your scissors and cut it out. There's no, they will come and draw their friends together.
But keep what's the correlation between single strand knots and hair growth? Because I've read that a lot. Is there any correlation?
No, I just know that because our hair's curly, it just, the way, the texture, it just causes, like, you know, when it clumps up, if you're not detangling off, if your hair's dry, it likes to, you know, kind of mesh together. So if you don't keep your hair moisturized, when it's drier, it will shrink up. And then, yeah, so detangling, keeping the hair moisturized. Those are the two ways you can avoid single strand knots. Okay. And when you see one, cut it out. Okay, rhyme and life. What's the best way to deal with your hair when at the gym? I was told it's bad to have a scarf or a band across your edges to collect sweat or just cover your hair. Is this true? Now, I think it's a good way to have a band or cover. It just depends on the material. So if you're using, like, you know, the basketball sweatbands where they're like towel material, that can cause a lot of friction on your hairline. So what I would suggest is if you can get one that's lined with satin, that way it's smoother when you're moving. And I think having your hair up is a good way. It's not in your face. It's not going to annoy you. The most important thing is if you have an active lifestyle is to wash your hair often. The sweat will build up a lot and that can cause a whole host of problems. So make sure if you're going to the gym, keep your scalp clean. You can use, you know, apple cider vinegar sprays or just like a rinse or anything. You definitely want to make sure that you're cleansing your hair more than you'd usually do.
Okay, so she says she, her hair at the middle is always breaking and it's shorter than all areas. She's tried sleeping with silk scarves, but it doesn't really get better. What can she do to prevent it?
Okay, so I wonder then what in your routine is causing your hair to break in the middle? Because that's not usually, is it like the lengths? Is it like it's just breaking from the ends or is it like really, really short? So could you clarify for me? I would say maybe don't tie your hair there, or if you do, keep it covered. So maybe like doing like, if you can see my hair, like a twist in the middle and then you like tuck it in and have the rest of your hair around it. So it's protected.
Over it.
And just keep it moisturized. So try and figure out what in your routine. Maybe it's the way you sleep. I'm not too sure. You said you try sleeping with silk scarves, but it doesn't get better. Maybe tying your hair up at nighttime. So if you leave it out like this and just put a silk scarf over it, I know in the morning my hair will be a mess. So I'm going to flat twist my hair now before I go to sleep to make sure that my ends are protected. So maybe that's something you could try. Okay, not completely. So just allowing your edges to rest or the other things that can help. Some people use black castor oil. This is for actually Move Your Glory.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to use like a cream on something on your edges, you have to just be careful about not putting too much because the transition to your normal hair is like most of the hairs here are like vellus hairs. They're very fine. They're not the same terminal kind of hair. So they have a shorter allergen phase. So they won't grow as long as the rest of your hair. So you have to be careful about putting too much tension on it. But this whole idea of, like, you know, having like good edges and gel down, just leave it alone. It's not practical. It's not good for you in the long run because the more breakage you get at the temple kind of areas, it slows down and it cuts down the hair cycle of future hairs. So where it could have been 4 years at the beginning, the next time it might be 3.5, then 3 years, and it goes down until you won't have any hair anymore. It's up to you. You have to decide how important, you know, having edges and making them look a certain way is up to you. Would you recommend black soap as a natural shampoo for hair? Be careful where you get it from. Not all black soaps are created equally. Some are very, very drying. Now, if you find you have oily hair or you get a lot of buildup or you have a very active lifestyle, then fine. But make sure you are teaming it with a very, very rich conditioner. Otherwise, your hair will be completely stripped of all its natural oils.
Can you recommend a product that's good for, she said, disrespectfully dry hair?
I can moisturize it every day and it won't penetrate. Okay, so I always start with water. That's the best way to start. You need to dampen your hair first and then you put like a butter or something, like a cream. It's called like the LOC method, liquid oil cream. Yeah. So I put the wrong way around. So water starting off with first, then you can put like an oil, so like a coconut oil. What else is like almond oil is really, really good. Or jojoba oil is like the closest oil you can get to the hair's natural sebum. That one, it like works wonders. And then you seal it with something like a shea butter. That way the moisture is trapped in. And if you find your hair is still really, really dry after that, you can use a humectant called glycerin. And that will coat the strands. It literally like draws in water from the atmosphere. Yeah. And that will help to keep the water.
I think to add to what you said, I think the problem usually is I find that people don't actually take the time to actually like pull it into the hair. So yeah. There are different methods. You can do the fire starter method. You can, you know, pull the hair until you're sure that it's actually well absorbed before you put your sealant. I find that people just heap. So they put the water and then they heap the oil and then they heap the butter. There's literally no space for the hair to actually absorb. So I think it's very important that we actually look out for absorbing. Make sure that it's fully absorbed first before you put a sealant, because if not, then you're just sealing something that is still dry, which is actually worked.
Exactly. So yeah, I definitely think that's a good way to go as well. I saw another question.
She said she doesn't use heat often, but sometimes she likes her hair straight. And whenever she straightens it, it gets so damaged that she needs a trim to prevent breakage.
Okay. So you have to use a heat protector. You like, heat will damage your hair from the inside out. Now, it's not bad to use heat. If you're going to use heat, use it carefully. Make sure that when you're blow drying your hair, like, get your hair as straight as possible before you straighten it. And I'm trying to see if I've got a good heat protector. I haven't got one next to me. But find a product that's meant for heat that will protect your strands. Don't use oil, because the oil is just going to fry your hair. So true, I would say, also, if you're going to straighten it, don't go over 250 degrees and do one pass. If you blow dry it well, your hair will be fine. It will be straight. It will last long. But if you're going up to like 450, 500, using like a tong, or like, you know, the I can't remember the name,
those really squishy ones.
You're going to fry your hair. Yeah. So just be very, very careful. You know, let it take your time. Don't be like in a rush and you're going through. Blow dry it very well, then straighten it. One pass is all you need, and that should be enough.
And I feel like heat training also helps, because I know a lot of people actually heat train. I don't use heat a lot, but I most of the times I only blow dry. And before doing that, I make sure my hair is like completely clean and well moisturized and deep conditioned. I find that blow drying and straightening, people just say, well, I just want to wash and blow dry. You know, you can't really get away with that when it comes to curly hair. I'm sorry. Yeah. If your hair was relaxed, maybe, which I don't even think you can, but maybe. But if you have curly hair, don't just wash and blow dry, or, you know, wash and straighten. Do a process. Make sure you heat train your hair so that it has layers and layers coating your hair away from the heat as much as possible.
Yeah.
So someone wants to know how you can.
It's just going to show up when your hair is straight. Well, if you've got breakage or it's dry, the heat is going to exacerbate it. So maybe it was that your hair was a little bit damaged before you straightened it, and now that you're seeing more of the damage, and it's just like, you know, made it a bit worse. Are you going to put heavy remarks about swimming? What's the best way to manage your hair to swim regularly? Using a swim cap, but have water slip in sometimes. Now, a swim cap is not going to be a barrier for, it's not completely waterproof. So what I would suggest is covering your hair in a conditioner first, so that way it creates a little bit of a barrier, so that if, you know, there's in the swimming water, there's going to be like chlorine and other chemicals to protect us, but it won't be so damaging on your hair. And then maybe wearing two as well. I know there's some swim caps made for like for dreadlocks or for people who have braids that are a little bit bigger. Wear, you know, a regular one underneath, and then the bigger one on top to make sure your hair's doubly protected. Okay. But conditioner is like a must do before you go into the water.
So her hair is constantly dry. She's tried deep conditioning, moisturizing. Any suggestions?
Do you have any breakage? Or like, what condition is your hair in? Like, not that it's just dry, like, is it like split ends? Do you use heat a lot? What kind of thing? And when people say that their hair's dry, I always find it funny, because when I touch, I'm like, your hair's so moisturized. I think our conception of like dry hair is completely different.
Yeah.
Because we're used to going to the hairdressers and they smother cream all over it until our hair is greasy, we think that's the norm. Your hair doesn't need to be, you shouldn't have to like pull your hair and have products left on your hands, the same way you wouldn't want, you know, excess product when you've moisturized your skin. And our hair like lacks luster. It doesn't look shiny compared to like maybe Asian hair or Caucasian hair. It doesn't have the same reflective kind of properties. Yeah. So you have to understand that if your hair isn't breaking or snapping or anything, it's probably moisturized. You just maybe want to go the extra mile. So I would say, you know, get some other people to feel it as well. Does it feel dry compared to their hair? And then kind of use that as a gauge.
Yeah. So she wants to know if wigs affect your edges in any way.
They can do, it just depends on the method you're using to wear it. So if you're wearing a full head wig, if you have that thick hair, it can do, it can pull back. But what I suggest is that wearing it a little bit behind your hairline. So if you've got a wig on, maybe leaving out like an inch of your perimeter so that it covers it. And that way you won't get as much tension on your hairline. Or just don't wear them all the time. So even if you wear it every day for work, all the time, when you get home, take it off, relax, you know, let some air get to your scalp.
All right, thank you so much, Ebony. We're totally out of time. We've gone like 40 minutes, I think, nonstop.
I had a great time. Thank you for the questions, guys.